So, Heavenly Father, we love you. We trust you. We need you. These are our words today. We thank you, Lord, that you come and you take care of our needs. So, Lord, today we pray that you might help us, whatever our condition today, some of us close to you, some far away, some of us distracted, some of us in sorrow and hurting, others of us rejoicing. Whatever our condition, may we come today and call out to you and ask you to help us. Help us, Lord, in our condition, and give us what we need. And we thank you for the sweet fellowship among our people here, and we thank you for the chance we have to be together today. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us today as we look at your word and as we remember you, Lord Jesus. We seek more than anything else to remember you. Remember your sacrifice for us and that you are alive, and we recognize and honor and worship you as our living Lord. But these days, Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember you. Remember your sacrifice and your death on the cross that we might have life and that we might live for God. So, Lord, in all of our time together today, we thank you for being with us by your wonderful Holy Spirit that you have sent. So be our teacher today and help us now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 2 is where I'd like for you to find your place in your copy of God's Word. And again, I'm delighted that you're here today if you're a guest. And I hope that you will come by and say hello on your way out. We're honored to have you. There's a pink folder like this. They're all over the building. And I want to hold this up. You can't miss this, can you? Can you see it? It's pink. It's really pink. And one of the practices we have at First Baptist Church is for the week of Holy Week, as we think about the Lord. You know, all through my ministry, people have said to me, well, how can I better come to use my time the week before Easter to spiritually be ready to understand about what happened? Well, that's what this is for. This gives you a guidance on what happened each day in the Lord's life, leading up to what we call Good Friday, when the Lord died on the cross. And so I hope that you'll do that. I'm inviting all the church to participate in reading these devotions. You can do it as a family, you can do it by yourself, but I hope that you'll do that and be a part of our time. So Thursday is Maundy Thursday, and you'll see in your note that this word is a word that means mandate, commandment. It is the idea that we're to join one another at the Lord's table. So we will be having the Lord's Supper on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. That gives most of you time to get home from work. I'm calling all of the church, calling you back Thursday, 7 o'clock. During this Holy Week, it's especially important for you to gather at the Lord's table. I know everybody's busy, but that leads me to what I've been talking about. I'm so busy sometimes in my life, I forget about Jesus. I don't think I'm alone. I'm a pastor. Why? Pastors should never forget about Jesus, but it happens. All the distractions that go on around us, all the troubles, all the issues that swirl around in our lives. So when you gather at the table of the Lord, as we'll gather on Thursday night, what did Jesus say? He took the bread and he said, "This is my body, remember me. I died for you." He took the cup, he said, "Remember me." This is a very important time in the life of every Christian here. And so I want to invite you to obey the command and be present as we gather to remember Jesus. We've talked in the last few weeks about how important it is for us to remember the cross of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, we said a few weeks ago, to become the curse for us. Now look, if you don't know Jesus here today, you're still under the curse. You still are under the curse. You can't obey God. You can't live perfect lives. And because you can't fulfill the law of God, you're cursed. You're cursed to death. You have to die for your sins, and sin is violating God's law. And so the curse of God, Jesus took the curse upon himself on the cross. We need to think about the cross, church. We move so quickly through things we forget. The cross of Jesus. Jesus took the curse of sin and death upon himself. We talked about the fact that when Jesus died, he brought us back together with God. There's a separation between sinful people and God. You cannot, a holy God cannot have relationship with sinful man without somebody making a way. Jesus made a way through the cross. And so you have the ability to pray. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have an ability to talk with God. You have a chance for joy in your life and the blessings of God because Jesus died on the cross. We believe and we receive by faith what he has done. He's changed our lives. And now, because of that, we have a relationship with God. Then we come to today, 1 Peter chapter number 2. And I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's word. And we read these words beginning in verse 21, for you, and remember Peter's writing to Christians. So I am speaking to Christians here today, but if you're not a follower of Jesus, I'll have some things to say to you also. For you Christians have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Now here's our focus verse for today. And he himself, that is Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And so we come to you now, Lord Jesus, you're our shepherd, you're the guardian of our souls. As we've come to you, we call you our Lord Jesus. We confess with our mouth you are Lord, and we believed in our hearts that you have been raised from the dead, and we've experienced salvation. So now, Heavenly Father, help us today to understand that because of the cross of Jesus, you sending your Son, we now must die to sin as a practice in our life and live in righteousness to God. Help us to understand these things today from your word. May my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want you to see, first of all, from verse 24, he himself bore what? Our sins on the cross. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. We can only, as modern people, appreciate this only by reading history. We've never stood at a crucifixion. You know, as best I can try to describe the noise, the dust, the nastiness, the smell, the cursing, the mockery, the joking. For this is a place where criminals went to die, and all the people felt like they deserved it, and they treated them harshly. So on that Good Friday, we're going to celebrate on Friday that day Jesus is walking along. This one, as Peter says here, who committed no sin, and yet he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He's carrying that cross, has to have help as he gets to the top. And there he is, there's cursing coming out of the mouth of those criminals. They're cursing the soldiers as they put them on the cross and hang them there. They raise Jesus up on that cross. It's not a comfortable place to be. It's a nasty, dirty place. It's an intersection where everybody comes and goes, going to Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem. And all the people familiar with who Jesus is now, they're not shouting, Hosanna, palms. Now they're saying, crucify him. He promised that he could save everybody else. Maybe now he'll save himself. Let's see if he can come down off the cross. And so we read Peter's words. Being reviled, he did not revile. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Real pain, real suffering, and finally, church, real death. Jesus died. While being reviled, while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. I'm appealing to all of my dear Christian friends. How often do you think deeply about the suffering of Jesus Christ? He died for your sins. For what you have done, the way you have treated others in an improper way, the words you have spoken in hurtful, damaging ways, the life you've lived in, the broken relationships you have, the traps you've put yourself in by addictions and living off of your own impulses. Jesus, he himself bore our sins. You see, sin is the issue. We don't think deeply enough about our sin. We hurry to cover it up. But that's what this time of Easter is about, for you to walk through in your mind, if you're a follower of Jesus, what it took for Jesus to remain silent like a lamb. That's what the Bible says, like a lamb led to slaughter. Like a lamb led to slaughter, Jesus there in all the ridicule and all the mockery, having done only good for others, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Sin. Jesus died, and this is an old time saying, Jesus saves us from the penalty of our sin. That's what we've been talking about. There's a penalty for sin. It's the curse. It's separation from God. It's eternal death. Jesus saves us. When we believe on Jesus, he saves us from eternal death, from the penalty of sin. He saves us also from the power of sin. When you believe on Jesus, he saves us from the power of sin. That's the second thing I want you to see here. Jesus died. Notice what Peter says in verse 24, that we might die to sin. Oh, when Jesus died on the cross, I died with him. This is a profound truth. So now that I follow Jesus, I died with Jesus. My old slave sin ways nailed to the cross. And for us to understand this better, to understand this clearer, I want you to take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 6 in your copy of God's Word. Paul makes this very clear to us, what Peter is saying in summary, when he talks about this issue of dying to sin and living for God. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, Paul says, are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? No. Now that I'm believed on Jesus, do I keep sinning to get more grace? No. He says in verse 2, we have died. If we've died to sin, how do we live in sin? You see, the penalty of sin's been paid, and now Jesus helps us with the power to overcome the power of sin. He reminds these believers in Rome at this church, these Christians, I'm going to remind you followers of Jesus here today. He reminds them of baptism, that picture of baptism. So on my left, to your right, over there, there's that baptismal tank. It's the place where when people come and they have trusted Jesus and confessed him as Lord and believed in their heart and they've been saved, it's that next step of coming and saying, I'm going to be a serious disciple. Baptism does not make us a Christian, for by grace are you saved through faith, not by water baptism. You're saved by the grace of God by your faith in Jesus and what he's done on the cross. But there comes a time when we who call ourselves followers of Jesus follow the example of Jesus, who was baptized under the baptism of John the Baptist. So when we fill that pool, we take those, for believers' baptism, we take that believer into the waters. We had one young lady come, one young adult come in the last hour and say, I need to be baptized as a believer in Jesus. That's very important. If you've not done that, we need to talk to you about that. Here Paul says, therefore, having been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And many, many of us have been baptized. But you know, I've noticed something in baptism all the years I've been a part of this, and I've been doing this a long time. We've never taken any believers into the waters and put them under the water and held them till the bubbles stopped. I had two people listening. You better get yourself back up here listening. It's pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah, we've never dragged anybody out of the baptismal dead. Never. Not one time. We've never held them till the bubbles stopped. But we've said this, buried with him in baptism under the water and raised to walk in new life, a new way, a new attitude, a new mind. But before I get to the next point about living, let's talk about dying. Let's talk about dying. What does Paul say to us here? It's very important. Verse 5, if we have become, this is Romans 6, 5, if you've become united with him in the likeness of his death, see, that's what we've done. We've said as believers being baptized, look, I have died to the old way of life. I have died to the old way of life. Look at this. These are very important words. Verse 6, knowing this, this is something you have to know now as a follower of Jesus. You must put this in your mind, change your mind. You've been born again. You're saved. You've been baptized under the waters. This picture that takes place of being buried to the old ways of life. The old Mike Miller died with Jesus on the cross. And when I believed on Jesus, I've come to life as a new person. And baptism shows death to the old ways, sin, the power of sin now, and all of the rest, and now raised to walk in newness of life, Paul says, knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Dying to sin. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, second time he says it in the verse, so that we might die to sin. And Paul says it the way he does by reminding us that now, being born again, you're not a slave to sin anymore. Look, if you took the finest pig you can find in the pigsty, and you brought that pig in the house and said, we're going to make this pig into a house pig. And this is going to be a house pig. And from now on, this house pig's going to sleep in the bed like our other dogs do. It's going to be a pig dog. That's what it's going to be. And we're going to paint the toenails, and we're going to put a bow around its neck. And this is now a pig, and we're going to call him Charlie. Charlie the pig. He's in the house. He's never going to have to go outside again. He's going to be the pig, house pig. I promise you, as soon as that house pig can get away from you, he's going to go back to the mud. Because that's where those nasty animals like to go. Who in the world would eat that kind of meat? Anyway, I'm just thinking about that. It's natural for a pig to go to the mud. It's natural for a man or a woman who does not know Jesus to sin. You know, people come talk to me and they get all worked up about how people live in the world today and all these unbelievable things they're doing. Look, friend. Why are you expecting people who don't know Jesus to act like saved people? They're not. They're lost in their sin, and though you can't see the chains, they are enslaved to to the old ways of living. They get up every day to go satisfy the same addictive habits, the lusts that drive them to do the things they do, and they live in that dark world of sin. But you have believed on Jesus. And number three, my last point, Peter said it for me. He has died for us so that we might die to that old slavery of sin. And look what it says, and live to righteousness. So number three, Jesus died that I might live a righteous life. Buried with him in baptism. Now I've confessed Jesus as Lord. I believed in my heart. The Holy Spirit is in me. I have a new nature. I can say no to sin. Let's go back to what Paul says to us. Paul says to us, beginning in verse number 9 of Romans 6, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. That's your motto and mine as a follower of Jesus. The life I have left, I live to God. What did Paul say? Some of you memorized it like I did when you were growing as a disciple. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm alive to God. I wake up in the morning being alive to God. I go to bed at night alive to God. And as long as I'm on this earth, I'm living for Jesus. I'm living for God. Buried in my old ways. I'm gone. The old me is gone. But I came out of the waters a new person. That's the picture. That's what we're saying. Peter says it so clearly. He himself died, bore our sins on the cross in his own body so that we might die to sin. No longer living that old slave way, going back to our old ways. But now we're changed. We live for God and we have new desires and there's a new person inside of us. But you know what you have to do? You have to help that new person be strong, that new man, that new you. How do you live for God? Well, I want you to see it quickly and we're going to go. I'm going to put these steps up here and I'm going to read them as they're here in Romans 6. And I hope you'll make a note of this. You know, sometimes people say to me, well, Pastor Mike, I just don't get anything out of church. Okay. Well, I mean, what do you put into it? Well, I'm just not feeling it, Pastor Mike. You know, they'll say, like, feeling it. I don't know what that means, feeling it. You get out of something what you put in it. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, if you don't commit to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to go back. The old nature pulls you back. You get back into those old habits. You get back into that stuff Jesus died to free you from. You got to do your part. You see, you can't live for me for Jesus, and I can't live for you for Jesus. Well, maybe God will just drop it on me, and it'll just kind of zap me, and then I'll just be spiritual. No, the way God designed it is you work with the Holy Spirit. You work with the Lord to live for God. How do you do it? It's right here. I'm going to give it to you. Number one, verse 11, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus. Number one, you got to change your mind. If you know Jesus here this morning, you died to sin. It's over. You know this. If we had a dead body up here, and some of you cook some of that good bread that you make, I only got one loaf out of that last time I talked about getting some bread. So I'm going to do it again here. You got a dead man up here. And that bread, that smell of that, you went back here in the kitchen on that nice industrial oven. You had that beautiful smell of that bread coming all through this place. And I mean good hot that you can put that butter on and honey and just have a great time with it. And you brought that bread out here on a tray and set it right by the nose of this dead man. He doesn't bother that dead man. He doesn't care about that bread. He's dead. Paul says, even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin. May I read it to you again? Peter says it very clearly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin. Second thing he says here is, after you consider yourself dead to sin, number 12, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Well, Pastor Mike, I just can't control what I want. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You can control it. If you feed your new nature, if you'll take God's word, if you'll practice the disciplines that we try to teach around here about following Jesus, reading the word of God daily, praying as Jesus said, go to your closet and pray, spending your time with the Lord, meditating on God's word, feeding your soul with these very real words, it will change you, it'll change your desires, it'll change your want to. Do not allow sin to control you and obey its lust. Basically, you say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to those places that draw me back into sin. I'm not going to, have to associate with certain people anymore because it draws me into sin. I'm not going to go places. I'm not going to do some things privately that I do. I'm not going to look at some things on the internet. I'm not going to watch some things on TV. And I might have to turn off my phone. I'm not going to get into that anymore. I'm not going to allow sin to have its opportunity because of my lusts. Then he goes on. Romans chapter 6. He says, do not go on presenting, verse 13, the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. So, just what I said, you don't present yourself. You don't put things in front of your eyes that won't help you live for Jesus. You don't listen to things in your ears that don't help you follow Jesus. You don't put yourself in places. You don't take your hands and your feet. You don't occupy your mind with things that lead you back to a path of sin. You present yourself to God. Oh, that's the next part. You present yourself to God alive from the dead. And notice what he says in verse 13, and your members as instruments of God. So you say to the Lord, Lord, after you go and pray to the Lord and you talk to him in secret like we've talked about together, you remember Jesus said, Matthew 6:6, every day, when you pray, go to the closet, shut your door, pray to your heavenly Father in secret, talk to him, praise him, honor him, glorify him, and then say, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Here's my mind. Here's my personality you've made. Here are my gifts that you've given me. Here I am. Here I am. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to see? See, this is what I'm talking about. Living for God takes some effort on your part and mine. If I'm drawn back to these other things, it's because I've not put anything in place, no boundaries in place, that keep me from going back to sin. Oh, yes, we'll fail. We will fail. We will sin at times, but not like slaves to sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness for his name's sake. So it all started for me as a 9-year-old boy, believing on Jesus. And then that day the pastor put me in the water because I wanted to be a follower of Jesus. Dead to the old Mike Miller, 9 years old, I disobeyed my parents. I stole some things from the store, and I certainly was mean to my sisters, even though I thought they deserved it. 9-year-old boy. So I needed a Savior because I had sinned. He himself bore our sins on the cross that we might die to sin. And so it started me on my journey for all these years, however old I am. It's been a long time. So you follow Jesus. You eat the bread of God's word. You pray, you trust in the Holy Spirit. You associate with the right people. You separate yourself from things that don't help you with your spiritual life. You live for God. It is my favorite verse in Romans 6:10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. The life that he lives to God. Let me see if I can quote it. It's an old hymn. Some of you, sadly, never heard this hymn growing up. I heard it all the time. Living for Jesus. Remember it? Living for Jesus. A life that is true. Striving to please him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, listen to these words. I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. Listen to the words. I owe, O-W-E, I owe no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the truth Peter reminds us about, and Paul, of how we live our lives now for Jesus. Lord, forgive us who are followers of Jesus when we've gone back. We go back to that old nature. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins this morning in mind, in word, in thoughts, in actions. Forgive us. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. And this week, especially as we think about you, Lord Jesus, you did not revile when you were reviled. You did not threaten. You committed yourself to the one who judges rightly. So look across this place today, Lord. You know the heart of every person in this room. Do your work in our lives so that we might live a righteous life by the help and power of the Holy Spirit and deny sin. But Lord, for my other friends who are here who do not know Jesus, who are still under the curse of the law, separated from God. Some of them, Lord, seek to be religious, but in their religion they cannot find you. Only through believing by faith in Jesus, confessing Jesus as Lord, and believing in their heart God raised him from the dead and changing their ways and their mind, can they be saved? We pray that some today, like we've seen in past weeks, adults, boys and girls, students, would step forward and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus the rest of my life. I believe and trust Jesus more than anything else in life. And Lord, we pray for some who are here this morning who need to join this church. It's the next responsibility you've given them. Others who've prayed to receive Christ, but they've never been baptized as a believer. Maybe that's the next thing for them. So in the quiet of this moment, whatever decision the Lord has for you, there's something that every one of us needs to do here today. There's a decision every one of us has to make. This isn't a spectator thing for you to watch for somebody else. What about you? About your spiritual life, friend. You got only today. Only today. So what is it the Lord wants you to do? Well, let's stand together and sing this great old song. What a good song for us to sing. Take my life. Lead me, Lord. Take my life. That's what we have to do today.